We certainly would like to extend a Christian greeting this morning in the precious name of our Lord. Had to think as we were driving out this morning, seeing the beauty of nature. Certainly there is a power greater and higher than ourselves because we are so limited to what we can do. And it's that Jesus that we would like to lift up this morning. And unless he receives glory through our service, we're here but in vain. And I trust that he will. Thinking of the life of Christ, you know, I had to think of a number of things through the gospel that I was reading. But as I was thinking of the life of Christ, really he didn't have a very, he didn't really have a very desirable life. You know, he was a man that was hated. He was a man that was mocked and, you know, he finally died on the cross. You know, he was a man that was laughed at, ridiculed, you know, and even through his life, at a very young age, he was a wanted person. You know, they were out to kill him. And as I was thinking about all these different things, I'm wondering this morning, really, how many of us are here that would desire to have a life like Christ had? And yet, the scripture is very clear that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, why, we shall suffer persecution. So when we think of the life of Christ this morning, I'd like to turn to St. John chapter 1. I'd like to read a few verses that John did and continue to read through verse 14 of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When we think of this Christ, this Jesus that was the author or was the creator coming into this world, and primarily he had one reason in mind, and that was so that you and I might be saved, that we can be redeemed. Also, I believe another purpose for his coming was that he might teach us and show us how to live the way of life. When we look through the Gospels, we see that all these times that Jesus was ridiculed and talked about as people were out to take his life from him, he was always out to save lives. And that's our responsibility, as we have here. You know, that we need to be the true light. We need to let our light shine, as the Bible says in Matthew, that men may see our good works. Why? So that they would glorify us. No, but that God in heaven would be glorified. That's the purpose, that God wants us to be here, that we can let our light shine, that people will glorify him. Now it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet it says the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But I really appreciate verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." And I'd like to say that's a privilege that you and I have in 1998 yet. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, he will save us. We can come to him. We can abide with him, and we can be his children. And I'm glad for that this morning. However, we notice through the scriptures, when I think of Christ walking upon the face of this earth, as I think of him this morning of being a man that was wanted, you know, that it seemed that he always had to be on guard. And I had to think on the way out this morning, what a privilege, what a blessing that we have to live in a world, in a country where that we don't have to be afraid of our life in that way. And yet, I wonder sometimes if we would really be the testimony that God would desire for us to be if we wouldn't face a little bit more persecution. The Bible does say, as I mentioned before, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, you know, we live godly lives. If we stand out for Him, if we witness for Him, the Bible says we will suffer persecution. Now, I don't know what he really all means by that statement. However, we do have it very well, very good in this life. Also, as I was reading through the accounts of the Martyr's Mirror, you know, all the suffering that those people went through. But there's one thing that stood out to me in most situations, that God showed himself strong. He was there. And that's the consolation that I believe that you and I can have this morning. You know, there were some that died. There were some that suffered and had pain. But a lot of the accounts, you know, the Bible, the Martyr's Mirror just brings it out that God was there and was enabled them. And I believe that's the way he does for us today. I believe this morning, because of Jesus coming into this world and doing what he did for us, it's like the Apostle Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh. You know, he didn't desire to have that. He desired to be relieved of that. And the Bible says he prayed 3 times that he might be delivered from that. But God come through again. Jesus come through again. My grace is sufficient for you. For when you are weak, Paul says, when he is weak, then he is strong. And I believe God wants that for you and I as well this morning. Glad this morning as we draw nigh to God, that he will draw nigh unto us. I'd like to notice a few verses in Hebrews chapter 4. This Jesus, you know, he was a man. He was a man that he walked upon this earth. You know, according to a number of places in the Bible, you know, he got tired. He had to rest. We notice one time that his passions within him, because of the people, he just simply wept. We notice the account in Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll look at a little bit later. You know, after that he fasted and prayed, the Bible says he was hungry. He desired food. So he was a man that had passions. He was a man that had feelings. He was a man that had temptations. Yes, he had quite a few of them. But as we look into Matthew chapter 5, we'd like to notice the secret then of the time that he went through temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4 here, we notice in verse 15 and verse 16, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And as I look into that verse this morning, it gives me hope. There's something in that verse that gives me courage to move ahead. You know, the Bible says here that "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now the question may arise this morning, as him being our example of going through temptation, you and I are tempted as well from time to time. At least I am, and I believe that you are. But I'd like to say this morning that Jesus Christ did not yield to that temptation. Today, we hear words like, "I just couldn't help it. I just couldn't resist it. I just had to. I just couldn't stand against it." But I'd like to remind us this morning, this same Jesus who resisted temptation tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that he will not allow us to be tempted above that we're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And I'd like to encourage us this morning in that. You know, I don't like to hear these things. "I just couldn't help it." Dearly beloved, this morning, I believe upon the authority of the Word of God that if our relationship with God is the way that it should be, we don't have to yield to temptation. Because God's Word says that He will not allow Satan to tempt us above that we're able to bear. So this excuse this morning, "I just couldn't help it," doesn't stand against the Word of God. But notice in chapter Matthew chapter 1, when we think of how Christ came into the world, the virgin birth. You know, we are living in a day and age that people today don't want to believe that anymore. They don't understand it. Therefore, they don't believe it. And I believe that's one thing that we just simply this morning have to believe by faith. By faith, we believe that Jesus, even though he was the creator of all, he also was born in this world as a baby, and that he grew up, and that he walked the path of this earth. And I believe this morning that there are many people that don't believe that. You know, the incarnation of Christ, that he was God and that he was man. You ask me to explain that. I can't. But I believe it by faith because I believe the Word of God is inspired. Excuse me. And therefore, we are living in a day and age, unless we can reason things out, we have struggles. I trust that we're not that way this morning. Because there's a lot of things in the Word of God that I confess that I don't understand. But I simply want to accept it by faith. This is how it is. We could notice, we won't turn to that, but in Luke chapter 2, in verses 40 through 50 and 52, we notice there as this young child was growing up, the Bible says there he grew in wisdom. And in verse 40, I believe it says that the grace of God was upon him. And you know, as his parents and as Jesus were going up there to the temple, when they were already coming home, a couple days' journey, they realized, they noticed that their son is not with them. And as they went back there to the temple, you know, he was talking with, we would say, the rulers and etc. And they marveled, they were amazed at the wisdom that he had. And then as the parents approached him, why he didn't come, you know, he said, don't you understand, I'll put it in my own words, don't you understand I have to be about my Father's business. And this morning we need to be about our Father's business as well, just as he was. But his parents didn't understand. And I believe there was many questions that went through, especially his mother's heart. She didn't understand. And I don't understand all those things either. But I'm glad this morning that he was the one, that he showed us the way, and that in further on in the scriptures then, into his public ministry, I'd like to ask the question this morning, what did he preach? Well, the Bible is very clear. As he approached people, he preached repentance. He preached that people need to be born again. He preached that they need to change their lives. He preached that they need to be out there helping people. Gave us the example of the Good Samaritan. You know, I don't know where that Good Samaritan was going. I don't know what he had in mind for that day. But when he came to the place where a person had a need, he was there. All other things became secondary. And that's what I see with the life of Christ. You know, as he was walking along, you know, he was out to heal. He was out to heal the lame, the sick, and so forth. He had time. You know, he didn't have a schedule that he couldn't break up. But he had time for those people. Just like the example that we have of the Good Samaritan. You know, I don't know. How about you and I as we travel these dusty roads in our day? You know, we may come to a person or we may see that there is a need along the road. You know, do we have time to stop? And do we have time to help like the Good Samaritan did and like Jesus taught us to? And you know, I had to think, as that Good Samaritan took that man into the inn, paid for his expenses, and said he'll come by that way again. If there's something isn't covered, I'll pay it then. What an example. But that's just like our Lord, our Jesus Christ was as well. Yes, he preached repentance. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He healed all manner of diseases. He had compassion. He cared. He wept. And I'd like to say this morning, that's what Jesus asked us to be. That type of a person, compassionate. You know, when we have that example of the Good Samaritan, of when we have the Good Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite, you know, he asked the question something like, well, now which one did the right thing? Well, of course, the answer was the Good Samaritan. And the exhortation at that point was what? Go and do thou likewise. And I'd like to say this morning, I believe if Jesus would be standing in front of us in person, I believe he would still be saying, go and do thou likewise. There are many, many hurting people in this world today. Just like there were in the days of Jesus. He had time. He took time. He tried to help them. And he had compassion on them. And I wonder this morning, how much compassion do I really have? We kind of have our schedules. We have our things to do. We say they have to be done by a certain time. You know, it's kind of interesting when you get out of the country or you get even into some other states. You know, when you go and visit them, it seems that they have all the time they want. And you know, sometimes we go through this thing, maybe we have a busy schedule and we get visitors. Maybe we wouldn't even think of expressing it, but back in our minds we might be saying, wonder how long they're going to stay. Jesus had time. He had time to help people. He had compassion. And he's telling us this morning, go and do thou likewise. I'd like to ask the question this morning, where did Jesus get that compassion? Where did Jesus get that power when he was helping people? I believe that he had a secret that you and I need to latch on this morning as well. Where do we receive our power? Where do we receive our strength? Where do we receive our courage? I believe we receive it from the Word of God. And I believe as we communicate with God, the Bible indicates very clearly this morning that number of times that very early in the morning he went up to the mount to pray, to commune with his Father. And I believe this morning if we lack strength, if we lack wisdom, if we lack direction, I believe the secret is in the life of Jesus was communicating with his Father. And I believe that's the secret for you and I this morning as well. Do we have time to do that? We notice then that he, many times through the scripture, and I don't have time to turn to these, but many times that after that he helped individuals, that's when he started to share with them or to preach to them, share with them the Word of God. And I believe that after that he had the people's attention, after that he showed himself that he cared and had compassion, they were willing to listen. And I'd like to say this morning, I believe that is an area that probably oftentimes would work the best for you and I. You know, we see a man maybe with that is living in sin. He might be doing things that you don't like. And we have a tendency in going to him and saying, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, it's very true that he shouldn't be doing that. But I believe the way into the man's heart is maybe better than just point blank telling them the wrong that they are doing. Somehow we need to show them that there is a God in heaven that cared. Somehow we need to show them, just like Jesus, that there is compassion that flows from our life, that we communicate with them, that we learn to know them, and then I believe it will help us to share the need with them. I believe if we want to share with individuals like that, we need to preach repentance as Jesus did. Show them the way of Jesus. And I'm convinced this morning, the man that has a problem with drugs or drink or whatever it may be, if they have Jesus Christ within their heart, the problem will be taken care of. So I don't necessarily think that we have to approach them on the problem, but present unto them Jesus. Be the example that Christ himself was. And as they learn to know him, then we can communicate and we can have fellowship with them. In Matthew chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes. You know, wonderful scripture there. The words of Jesus as he goes down through there. You know, the blessing that he pronounces on a number of those things. In Matthew 5, maybe I'll just look at a few of them. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The meek, they shall inherit the earth. That hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. The many promises that he gives us through this portion of scripture. And you know, further on, he talks about in chapter 7 about the golden rule. Doing unto others the way that we would want them to do unto us. A teaching from Jesus. And I'd like to ask us the question this morning, is that our experience? Are we using Are we talking to our brother? Are we using our brother? Are we helping our brother? Are we doing for our brother the way that we would want them to do for us? You know, sometimes it makes a difference on which side of the fence that we are. He talked in Matthew chapter 13 about the straight and the narrow way, the way that we need to walk, the one road that leads to heaven, the other road that leads to hell. He wants us to know this morning. He wants us to know the different roads that we can travel. He wants us to know about the different location. He made them very clear in the Word of God so that we can understand. He gives us instruction in Matthew chapter 6 of giving of alms and how our prayers should be and how that we should experience forgiveness one for another. You know, talks about the alms there that needs to be done in secret. He doesn't want us to bring it out to the public. Hey, I've given so much. Did you see what I put in the offering this morning? No, he doesn't want that. He gives us a teaching this morning that he doesn't want our right hand to know what the left gives. And I believe that's where the blessing is. We have the account of the Pharisees, as they were out there praying in the middle of the street so that people would see them. I think the answer was to them, you have your reward. Our rewards this morning, I trust, will be in heaven. He gives us a lot of teaching on non-resistant and on feet washing, the holy kiss and communion, how that we need to let our light shine and so forth. You know, we have these things that God teaches us, the instruction that he gave in the holy kiss. Yet in our day and age, we have come to the place where that so often has been replaced by a handshake on the brethren's side and maybe just a hug on the sister's side. Dearly beloved, this morning the teaching of Jesus was that we greet one another with a holy kiss. That's how he instructed us. That's how he wants us to do. And feet washing. Where is it in the churches today? You know, there's very few churches anymore that humble themselves and bow down and wash one another's feet. But dearly beloved, this morning, it's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust if the Lord tarries and the church is here another 15, 20 years, that we'll still be washing each other's feet. You may say, why? Well, because the Bible teaches its example that Jesus left himself and asked his followers that they would do. In closing, I'd like to turn to, I'm just trying to think. Is it Matthew 4, the account of Christ's temptation? Is that the chapter that it is? Can't think. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 4, I'd like to close with those verses. It says, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And now what a challenge that Satan left with Jesus Christ. After that, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he was hungry. And Satan came to Jesus, I believe, at his weakest point. Now, I believe this morning that if Satan knew the weak point of Christ, he knows the weak point of you, and he knows the weak point in my life. And it seems that that's where he comes to us, at our weakest points. But I'd like to say this morning, I'd like to use the encouragement from the Word of God. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Jesus was tempted, he turned to the Word of God. And I'd like to encourage us this morning with the fact that as we present the Word of God, as we are in the presence of Christ, Satan cannot stand. All right, further on he goes here, then the devil taketh him into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto them, him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. You know, I believe this morning that God could have been there. The angels could have taken care of him. But you know, that was not the end of the story. I like the words of Jesus here. When we're tempted to do something, maybe we say, well, the grace of God will take care of it. You know, we may launch out into something that is dangerous, we know that we shouldn't be it, somehow God will take care of us. Dearly beloved, this morning we need to see the words of Jesus where he says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And I believe that goes a long way for you and I this morning, that we shouldn't do that. You know, we know what is right, what is wrong, and let's not tempt God in doing the wrong. Further, we have the last time here, the third time. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Who was the creator, anyhow? Wasn't it Jesus? Wasn't it God the Father? Yes, it was. Jesus answered him and said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I'd like to leave that with you and I this morning. As we are at the place of temptation, as the devil tries us, as he tries to trip us, let's remember this morning, let's rebuke him like Jesus did with the authority of the Word of God in the name of Jesus, and realize that there is only one that we need to worship, and that is the Lord our God, and him only shall we worship. May the Lord bless you.